Rebirth, Book 1 of the Rome's Revolution Saga, written and narrated by Michael Brockman. Prologue, Year 3455 AD. Location, 6th planet, Tabit System, also known as Pi 3 Orionis, located 26 light-years from Earth. Ray Birak felt the legs of his all-white pressure suit stiffen as the air in the hangar rushed out to mix with the thin, unbreathable atmosphere of the moon called Dara. The dirt swirled around the hangar entrance in tiny eddies, like miniature dust devils. In his right hand, Ray clutched a metal briefcase filled with dormant virus units that were possibly the most destructive force in the galaxy. Although he was anxious to get started, he had to wait a moment for the pressure inside the hangar to equilibrate with the outside. Finally, Ray took his first step onto the surface of the moon where he had been living inside a habitat for the last several days. The soil was crunchy, not dusty as he would have guessed. Looking down at his boots, it hit him. He was finally setting foot on an alien world for the first time. Back on Earth, just before the Ark II had launched, he had tried to visualize his first exostep. He assumed it would be on the planet where he would be making his new home. Yet here he was, a 25-year-old man from the 21st century, stuck in the 35th century, in a star system 26 light-years from Earth, on a world about to be destroyed. In fact, it was his job to destroy not only this moon, but to set into motion a series of events that would eventually take out the entire star system along with it. He looked up and out. Dara, the moon, was unremarkable in every way. The soil was brown and drab. It looked nothing like the surface of a typical moon. Ray saw signs of erosion everywhere. Dara had enough atmosphere to slow down meteors and enough wind and weather to smooth out all but the newest craters. It certainly didn't have the stark beauty of Earth's moon or the startling contrast of shapes and colors of Mars. Ray breathed in sharply through his nose. However, all he could smell was the purified air of the pressure suit mixed with his own perspiration. Trying to breathe the air here would have killed him rather quickly. He took two more steps forward, then turned to his right and began his long trek south. Based upon Omcom's estimate, Ray figured he should probably walk about 1,000 paces from the habitat before releasing the virus nanobots. That would give him more than enough time to return to the space tug. He would be able to lift off and rendezvous with the Ark II long before the nanobots consumed Dara. Ahead of Ray, Dara's parent, the gas giant known as Skylar's World dominated the horizon. It filled nearly one-third of the heavens above. In stark contrast to the muted, dreary appearance of Dara, the Jupiter-class planet shone brightly with its gaudy bands of chocolate brown and aqua, white, turquoise, azure, and streaks of red. Skylar's world was so large it would most likely have developed into a star or brown dwarf someday, but now it would never get the chance. Even the mighty Skylar's world would not survive the hell that Ray was about to unleash. Inside his helmet, Ray counted his paces out loud in a vain attempt to avoid considering his predicament. To further distract himself, he searched the sky overhead. He was trying to spot the Ark II, the spaceship that had brought him here to the Tabit system, which was silently orbiting Dara with 539 of his fellow colonists aboard. Ray envied his frozen peers, fast asleep in cryohibernation. They were blissfully unaware of the dire nature of their circumstances and the thing that was rapidly barreling down on them. Thinking about it made him pick up his tempo. At 900 paces, Ray felt the ground shake. There was no slow build-up. The vibrations were abrupt and more violent than an ordinary moonquake, but they subsided quickly. He turned and looked back at the habitat. Rising majestically above the rounded pyramid of the station was the flagship of the Viduri fleet, the starship Algol, pounding the dirt and whipping up the dust with its powerful EG lifters. The all-white spaceship flew forward, away from Ray, then executed a slow bank right, coming around until it was headed in his direction. Unlike his Ark II, which was constructed as a series of long, flattened cylinders, the Algol was far more graceful, about half the length of the Ark. The Algol was sleek and streamlined. With its huge thruster pods poised at the end of each airfoil, it was clearly designed to operate both in space and within an atmosphere. As the starship flew over his head, it waggled its wings. Ray raised his free hand to acknowledge the gesture. At the helm of the ship was his beloved Rome, the Viduri woman he had met when he first arrived here. Despite the brevity of Ray's stay, they had fallen deeply in love with each other. Ray knew Rome had no choice but to pilot the Algol back to Earth by herself, since she was the only member of the Viduri people who remained conscious, leaving Ray behind. He stood by helplessly as the massive ship rose up into the air. After a short time, he saw the plasma thrusters ignite and the Algol took off straight up like a rocket. With tears in his eyes, Ray watched the spaceship gain altitude. The craft dwindled in size, first to a tiny speck and then finally disappearing into space. Grief-stricken, Ray sank to his knees and sobbed uncontrollably. His beautiful Rome, the love of his life, was gone, never to return. At this point, Ray was as alone as any human being could ever be. Without Rome, it seemed like he had no reason to live. His heart was broken, but his sense of duty still haunted him. His frozen comrades in the Arc 2 above were depending upon him to tow them out of the Tabit system and onto Tau Ceti, their original target, before the destruction began. Like Rome, Ray really didn't have a choice. He forced himself to stand and get on with the task of destroying a world. Ray scanned the area immediately in front of him. He spotted a suitable crater about 100 yards ahead. As he trudged forward, the finality of his mission pressed down on him, forcing him to wonder how he got here. How did it come to this? Ray shook his head as the events of the prior few days came flooding back to him.